Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Everybody, this is Brian, and Jan is on medical leave again. We're all sending her warm wishes and prayers and for a speedy recovery. Anyways, I wanted to talk to you a little bit before we get to our guest. And last week, we had a very interesting conversation with Marla Tabaka about millennials. And to follow that up, I was at a live event with one of the Chicago Tribune writers and columnists. His name is Rex Hupke. And Rex talked a little bit about the same thing. He talked about how millennials are in the workplace and how to work with them, what their skill sets are, why they make great employees, and how training is part of the big mix of getting them to understand the corporate culture, because he said that not every millennial is like this, but a lot of them, you know, they just love freedom. They want their free time. They don't like the constraints of walking in at 8 and leaving at 5. And, you know, so it really takes an understanding between millennials and then the management system and getting everybody to be on the same page. And a lot of times when you're disagreeing with them, they feel like you're yelling at them, which is just kind of crazy, but it is the way that it is. And that's part of this new culture that you have to deal with. I mean, the workplace, let's face it, the workplace has really changed. And, you know, you have to learn to adapt to it. You have to learn to become somebody who can lead people slightly in a different way. You also have to be aware of the old days of having a job for life is not the way it's going to be forever. So this whole show is about how to grow into and deal with the kind of transitions that happen in the business world. Now, you know, I learned a long time ago, I don't play very well in the corporate sandbox, hence I work for myself, and I love it. And I work very well that way because I like being in control of my destiny. But when you're working in a corporate environment, that's not always the case. You have to learn to adapt to the way that things are. So I would love to bring on our guest. His name is David Long. He's written a new book called Built to Lead. And David, how are you doing today?
Good, Brian. Excellent. Glad to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Now, you have a very interesting backstory. First and foremost, you have a company that you built called My Employees. And can you tell us a little bit about your backstory, about where you started out and how you got to the leader of this great company?
Yeah. I started my company after losing my job and then going through 7 jobs in 3.5 years back in the 80s, the mid to late 80s. And I actually had to put my tail between my legs, take my wife and my 3 kids and I, move back home with my parents in their 1,340-square-foot house with my baby brother.
Wow.
So eight people in 1,340 square feet is a bit tight. And I started my company in their garage. So basically today we should do $11 million this year. We have 56
Wow.
employees now. And, you know, one thing you mentioned, that I wanted to share this with you. You had said something about people transitioning and everything. People in my company, my employees, of course, the name of our company is My Employees, but my employees here, we all basically assign them their own P&L. We let them know exactly what they mean to the company. And in any way, shape, or form, you should think of yourself, if you're an employee for another company, as how am I, what's the return on my company's investment in me? And it's very, very powerful for you, everyone, to realize that they're their own corporation within the corporation they work for.
See, and I absolutely love that because I'm a QuickBooks junkie. And that's one of the things I love about
yeah.
running my own company is I am my own P&L. And the
yes,
fact
right,
that
you
said that for people working in your company, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. We basically give them base pay of some type,
mm-hmm.
obviously, and it's usually about 2/3. Of their pay,
mm-hmm.
and that 1/3 of it is what I call at risk. In other words, it's bonus.
Mm-hmm.
is commission. In other words, they have to show up. Let me tell you how powerful it is by having a company run that way. We have what we call the champion strip, where we take the top third of our employees and their spouses, Brian, if they're married. We take them on a all-expenses-paid week-long trip. We've done it for 8 or 9 years now, at least 8, where we go. This year we went. We go every year in May, and we went to St. Martin, and you know, down in the Caribbean. And we went there, and we take every manager. Now, Brian, every manager goes, and their spouse. And we leave no managers back at the company. But because we have it set up where if people goof off while we're gone, they are literally shooting themselves in the foot. And it will cost them, literally, if they goof off while we're gone. And that's a powerful thing to continue to grow when the managers are out of the building and out of the country. That's pretty huge.
Right. Yes. So tell us about your company. What exactly does your company do for other companies?
Sure. We do employee engagement surveys and recognition plaque programs for companies. For example, we have roughly 60% of the Walmarts in the country. We have like Lowe's Home Improvement. FedEx is a client of ours. Tons of, believe it or not, retirement communities. That's like the fastest growing segment of our business. It's incredible since the demographics of the country, you got all the baby boomers are aging. So a lot of retirement communities are coming into play. And they love recognizing not only their residents but their employees as well. And restaurants, great day. We have Outback and Carrabba's, Bonefish, Red Lobster, Olive Garden, a bunch of different, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Morton Steakhouse, people like that. So, I mean, we're all across the spectrum of businesses that we do recognition for.
That's awesome. Now, let's dive into your book, because you seem to have a philosophy that I think is really unique and something that I'd love my audience to hear. So we go from you starting a company in a garage to taking your employees on trips to the Caribbean, your managers to the trips to the Caribbean. Now, your book is Built to Lead, and it's about how to become a great manager. Can you tell us a little bit about that and your philosophy?
Yeah, the total title for the book is Built to Lead, 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. And, Brian, I've been fortunate enough in my career, in my life, to become a top, not 10, but top 1% manager in 3 separate unrelated industries. So the principles that I teach in my book are universal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. And actually, the word rewards is an acronym, and it stands for reconnaissance, education, winners emerge, attitude, which is huge, and let's see, recognition, duplication, and the final one being success. And that is means different thing to different people. And that's what the acronym stands for.
That's awesome. So what can you give us a little bit of background about some of those, each one of those? You don't have to dive super deep in, but you know, what does each one of those mean? Because we only have 20 minutes.
Sure. Not a problem. Let's just do a couple of them and go a little bit more. I think they'd get more out of it. I mean, we talked about what they are, but let's just take a few. The first one is reconnaissance is the actual word, but in the military they call it recon. Mm-hmm. And you're finding out who is, first of all, on your team, Brian. Because you do an assessment as the leader of the company that you possibly were promoted to take over or leader of your department or, you know, whatever it may be. Do an assessment of your management team first and figure out, have I got the right people with me, as Jim Collins says in his book, Good to Great, the right people on my bus.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a weak manager on your team, it's just, you think about a car. Let's say there's 4 managers, and each one of them represents a tire on a car. And one of those managers is not doing the job. That's known as a flat tire. And what do you have to do?
Right.
You have to, all 4 managers have to pull over to fix that one loser or flat tire. So the faster that you can get a solid team in place, the faster your success will come. Once you get all of your managers pulling in the same direction, having the same mindset of where we're going and what we're going to do to get there, then you go with each manager and you assess each member of their team. And you say, what about Tom? Tell me about Tom. Is he a long-term guy or is he somebody that's just here for a paycheck, doesn't really care about the company? You know, tell me what's what. So we go down and each one of those people, and we target the ones that are weak. We say, okay, let's get them fixed. Or in my case, I say, or get them fired. We don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to hold us back as a team. And by the way, let me just say this. As proof of what, you know, proof in the pudding, as they always say, our company's up 33% this year. We grew the company. We grow up by over 20% average a year. and we have for over 15 years. And we're talking about down through the economic downturn of 2008, 2009, 2010. I'm talking we continued. Matter of fact, we grew by 35%, 41%, I think, in 2008 and 2009. So, I mean, it's all in the mindset of having a solid people on your team. Yes, there are obstacles that the economy brings to you, but if you have the right people, you're going to have phenomenal results. And we are proactive here. We are not reactive. And I will tell you this, any business out there where they have to rely on people coming to them, you are going to have a tough row to hoe, as they say, in the next few years. If you're proactive and you're actively going out after it and going to see the people, staying on the phone, doing what you need to do to build value for people, you have to justify, and I tell my people this, you have to justify your existence on your client's P&L like you've never, ever done in the history of any company you work for. I'm talking about going back to the Great Depression. I mean, it is definitely going to be a tough few years ahead of us. And the stock market, I just got a flash thing on Fox News, is opened 1,000 points down today.
I saw that.
That's pretty dramatic. You know, we don't need to go
dramatic.
On that. That's a different show. But let's, so we can go, my second, the second, yeah, that's right. The second, the E stands for education. Now, I'm not talking about, yeah, you know, all of your employees need to go to college and everything. That's all well and good, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about my book club I created about 10, 11 years ago. And what I did basically is I read a book by Dr. Tony Zeiss, who is now a mentor and friend of mine, and it was called like the 12 Essential Rules or Laws of Becoming Indispensable, and that intrigued me. And I read it, and I said, holy crap, we had about 12 employees at the time, so I bought another 11 copies of the book, and I met with my employees in the break room. And I said, guys, this is a book. I bought you a copy. Here, I passed them out, passed a highlighter and a notebook, and I said, read chapter one and come back in here next week. I'm going to buy pizza, and we're going to sit around and talk about chapter one on attitude. And they all looked at me like I'd lost my mind, and they'd never done anything like that before. They were having flashbacks to reading groups in grade school, and they were freaking out. So I calmed their little fears down, and, you know, we met. And of course, nobody wanted to talk, so I talked, and I told them how my own attitude had been an issue in my life a few times and how I ended up losing everything and moving back home and all that good stuff. And, you know, several people said, Dave, I never knew that you had gone through all that. I have a newfound respect for you. And that can't be a bad thing, can it, Brian? I mean, you know, that's not too bad.
No, not at all.
So we, you know, I paid for them in the beginning, but the company today is 56 employees. So eventually, we did this probably about, great day, 7 or 8 years ago, because the company had grown so much, we actually split. I started paying them to be in a room with me in the training room for an hour a week. So today I'm spending probably in the neighborhood of $80,000 to $100,000 a year for that. And you've got people that are hearing that right now. Well, you're an idiot. Well, I don't know about that. If I make millions from it, am I still an idiot? No.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely
not. You know,
no.
And I talk about how to do that in my book and how to do it right. And how to make, and you know, book club, by the way, is nothing but teaching my people how to be better financial, like we did in their financial lives, like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, how to have better relationships. We read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is powerful. And we read that probably a year and a half ago when we were 30-some employees, but yeah, we're growing that fast. So when we read that, we had like 35 employees, and when we read it, Brian, after we finished, four of my employees either called me, faxed me, texted me or whatever and said, Dave, that book radically altered my life and very possibly saved my marriage. So more than 10% of my employees. Now, put a price on that, Brian, can you?
No, you can't.
No, you
can't.
And so that's how I add value to my people.
You've got an incredible philosophy, which I think is universal to everybody, and that is you have to learn to re-educate yourself all the time because things are changing, and there's so much great information out there, and I love that.
Yeah.
And your book club is not like Fight Club where, you know, what happens at Fight Club stays in Fight Club. This is something that people can take into their world, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Awesome.
The next one really is Winners Emerge, and I'll try to get through them and get a good overview.
That's
but Winners Emerge basically – oh, by the way, I should go back to education for a second. We also have masterminds, which I am a member of about 3 or 4 different mastermind groups, and one of them is $25,000 a year. I mean, they're very expensive, but you pay for access to great minds, you know? So you do that, and I share with my people what I learn. And we also have a local, my own mastermind group of 5 local CEOs of million-dollar, multi-million-dollar companies. We meet once a month for about 4 hours, And I also coach them an hour, or my people work with them too. If they want to talk to my IT guy or my, you know, sales manager, they have access. And they pay me $1,000 a month. So, you know, that's $5,000 a month, which, you know, I do that. I primarily did it in the beginning. I wasn't even charging. But they see the value of it enough that they're going to pay me $1,000 a month. And they even pay more than that if they want more access than an hour a month from us. So that's you need to develop yourself. And always, you know, so Mastermind is phenomenal about building your knowledge set, your skill sets, and everything else you share with your people, and you force it down through your organization. Now, that is where you go into Winners Emerge from what you learn about book club, because I'll give you a prime example. We've got a guy named Josh Straw, who is probably the most introverted employee we have here out of 56 people. And I remember, we asked for volunteers in book club if some of our employees want to lead it. You know, they get up and lead the discussion. Well, I remember I was on vacation. And I was talking to my CEO, Adam Tart, who's been with me 18 years. And I remember Adam said, "You are not going to believe who volunteered to do book club." And I said, "Who?" And he said, "Josh Straw." I said, "Josh Straw, are you kidding me?" I said, "Don't you dare do it until I get back. I want to be there when he does it." not Brian, that I wanted to put pressure on the boy. I just wanted to see him shine. You know, so I came back and he got up there, and it was so cute because he's up there, and I say cute, he's like in his mid-20s, late-20s, but he's up there and he's holding the book in his hand, Brian, and his hand's shaking. His voice is shaking a little bit, but man, if you could see the difference between him before and the difference after, it is amazing. That boy grew, you know, massively that day when he did that. And since then, he's come out of his shell. He's a new man because of book club and me allowing our people to step forward and to grow and to experience things they never would have taken and done on their own. And that's one of the great things about, they say, a truly great leader will take their people places they never would have gone on their own. And that's my mission,
Amen.
Man.
Yep.
That is my goal. You know, I tell people today that I am a coach, mentor, and cheerleader without the skirt. That's what I do. I don't do consulting with my clients. We have over 12,000 active clients in the U.S. and Canada today, some in a few other countries, but predominantly the U.S. and Canada. And I don't answer the phone. I don't do consulting. I don't do employee engagement consulting on the surveys. I don't engrave plaques. I don't do customer service. All I do is I work on my people. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "If I have 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe." Well, Brian, my axe, my friend, are my employees, and I sharpen them. That is my job, my main focus.
Love it.
They are all mini-me's, man. They are all mini-me's. Everything they did, I did years ago. You know, and if your listeners don't have any better reason to listen to what I have to say today, is I have built such a solid team. I'm taking off 26 weeks this year in vacation.
Wow.
And that,
who
that's
wouldn't
pretty
want that
powerful,
lifestyle?
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what?
Cool.
It doesn't. My friend, it doesn't happen by accident. You know, I like what I heard it again this morning. You know, Zig Ziglar said, you know, by wandering around, you're not going to find yourself on Mount Everest. It's a planned attack. It's a planned strategy. And if you don't have, you know, the first 7 years, Brian, I didn't take a vacation, man. I couldn't. I was the company, right? You know, I had to do payroll every week, so I couldn't be gone. And, you know, various things like that. And I had to make sure the bills were paid and that type of thing and answering calls. So, you know, I realized, hey, man, if I'm ever going to have a life, I've got to get some people in here I can depend on so I can get the heck out of Dodge. And, you know, that's what I've done. I've developed a solid team, world class. According to Gallup organization, they said that any team that has 10 or more engaged employees for every disengaged employee is world class. But you know what the average company in the U.S. is? 2 engaged employees for every engaged employee. And I actually had my graphics guy create a poster. And if your listeners will go to top10manager.com, and that's the number 10, not T-E-N, top10manager.com, and go to the resources page, they'll see a poster that has 10 Clydesdales pulling one jackass sitting down. That's world class. And the average U.S. company, those 2 Clydesdales are pulling that one donkey or jackass sitting down. I mean, think about it. If you got 10 Clydesdales pulling that donkey's butt's going to be sanded down to nothing in a few minutes. But if you've got 2 Clydesdales, they're going to get tired. And that's another thing that Gallup said. They said that 47% of your best people, not your worst people, Brian, but your best people, are looking to leave you right now for 2 reasons. First of all, you don't recognize them like you should. and you know, 65% of employees in America last year said that they felt they hadn't been recognized by their manager in the last year. So 47 of your top people are looking to leave you for that reason. But the other reason is you tolerate those jackasses on your team.
Right.
You know what? Superstars don't want to deal with those losers. And when you tolerate them, they see you as a weak leader who doesn't take decisive action to get rid of people that shouldn't be on your team. And that's that's huge. So that's the winners emerge part. Now you go into attitude we talked about, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't tolerate any bad. You know, Michael Jackson, I think it was, had that song, but one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. So I don't need to go into attitude. I don't tolerate that crap. If somebody's always nitpicking everything and, you know, complaining, and they're seen as a person that people want to go to when they have a complaint, which they rarely have here, but still, they do exist every once in a while. You got people involved, 56 employees. Somebody's not going to be happy. So, you know, you just don't tolerate those people. If it's constructive criticism, bring it all day long. But if you're a pisser and a moaner, I'm not interested in having you around. And we're not going to tolerate it. Matter of fact, the first thing new employees have to come in is to read a book called The No Complaining Rule by John Gordon. No Complaining Rule. So everybody out there should read it because it puts you in the right mindset. Another thing that we do is our employee handbook. First paragraph in that thing says, we are a culture of getting better tomorrow than we were today. We want to learn things. We are constantly learning here. If that doesn't sound like something you'd be interested in doing, don't come here because you're going to be miserable. And we follow through on that because we are constantly learning. And you're going to stand out like a sore thumb around here, man, because we are constantly learning. We are constantly sharpening our axes to be more effective at what we do. And that's huge. So after attitude, you go to recognition. And I just talked briefly about that, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. By the way, also, if your guys go to Top 10 Manager, you know, David Long at Top 10 Manager, send me an email. I can send you an employee reminder tracking chart so that you will have reminders to recognize your people every 10 days. And you'll have your team listed, all your team members on the left-hand side. And I can go on there and say, oh, my gosh, I went through the whole month and I didn't recognize Brian for anything. I got to find something to brag on him about. So it keeps you accountable. Because keep in mind, 65% of employees said they received no recognition from their managers last year. And you know what? You could say, well, I've recognized my people. But, you know, it doesn't matter what you think, Brian. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what our people think. If their perception is that you didn't recognize them for doing a good job, you didn't. Their perception is all that matters to them, not yours. So recognition is huge, and that's what we do. And my employees, go there, myemployees.com, and check it out, and you can see what we do. But after recognition is duplication. And this is where I go to my managers and I say, all right, God forbid something happened to you and you drop dead. Who's the heir apparent in your department or in another department? Tell me who that would be. And they have to tell me, Brian, who that first person is. And I actively ask them to tell me who the second choice would be. And then the next question for me is, what are you doing to develop these people? And they have to tell me what they're doing. If they don't, they're not doing their job, buddy, just plain and simple. So if they're not actively building their people, and in my book I talk about the Shark's Teeth Leadership Development Program, and that's what we're talking about here. If you're familiar with the teeth system of a shark, the front row, if one of those teeth gets knocked out from a fight with a prey or, you know, another shark or something, and another tooth pops right up behind it, man, it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, once again, pull over to the side of the road, try to fix that tire from scratch and not have a tire in the trunk. You know, you got people in development all the time, because when you have a rapidly growing company, you have to develop your talent from within that know the culture. If you bring in new people from outside the company, a ton of them at one time, you will destroy your culture. It will no longer exist. And you would do yourself more damage than good. And you know what? People want to feel like they can progress in their career and move forward. And that's what we do here. So we always have people everybody's in training. And winners will emerge. They will step forward. They will have ideas. They will take the bull by the horns and run with projects. That's what you want. And the final thing after duplication of making sure you got solid people being developed, the last one is success. And in my book, I talk about the guy who won the biggest lottery in U.S. history at the time. I think it was $314 million. That guy who won it in West Virginia, or I think it was West Virginia, he actually was a millionaire when he won it, Brian. He was already a millionaire with 100 employees in his company. And what happened is, once he got that money, he stopped doing the things that made him successful, made him happy in life. All of a sudden, every Tom, Dick, and Harry came out of the woods asking for money, so much so that he had to hire a guy to manage the requests. People started suing him for anything under the sun. And when he had a happy marriage and a happy family, and he had a granddaughter who was the apple of his eye, and he basically told her, you don't need to worry about anything the rest of your life. You can drop out of school. You can stop your little fast food job that you're working at. You don't even need to worry about it. And make a long story short, he bought her four cars and gave her like $1,500 a week spending money, or $2,000 or whatever. And so what happens when people have too much time on their hands? They get in trouble. She started doing drugs and hanging out with the wrong people. Make a long story short, she died of an overdose. And it broke his heart. His marriage ultimately fell apart. You better believe it, buddy. And people aren't, you know, people were meant to, you know, to work. They weren't meant to be idle. And you destroy the drive of a person when you take that away. And when his granddaughter died, he and his wife fell apart. His daughter became alienated. She didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And he started going to strip clubs and various things like that and hanging out with the wrong people himself. His marriage fell apart. And I remember he was profiled on ABC on 2020. And I remember watching the program, and it struck out in my mind. I'll never forget it. And he said this. He said, the worst thing that ever happened to me was winning the lottery. And everybody out there fantasizes, oh, look what I would do. Here's what I would do if I won the lottery. But you know what? Spend your time on something that matters, because be careful what you ask for, because it may well destroy you. You're talking about a guy who was a millionaire who knew how to manage money. But because he got so much free money, it took away his drive and his ambition and his love for people. He hated them. And it drove him apart. His relationships all fell apart. Don't ask for that, because you can't handle it. So have the drive, the ambition. You know, spend time with your family. Money comes and goes, but you have but one family and one life. So make the most of it.
Yeah, amen. And there's a couple of things that you talked about that I thought were very, very important. And this dates back when I was way younger, working at AT&T, and I was doing a video on employee recognition of what makes a great leader and a great manager. And the two things that I came away with this in my 20s was, first and foremost, is if you give people a pat on the back, it's worth more than if you give them a dollar. They hold on to the emotion of that support much more than just paying them more money. And the second one is the greatest leaders are the ones that are working the hardest to make themselves obsolete by making their people better rather than trying to make themselves unfireable, which a lot of people tend to do. You can't lose me because I'm way too important to this company. Well, that's not the truth.
We got about
2 minutes. I just want to get some final thoughts from you, and also find out if people can contact you if they wanted to.
Sure. Well, they can reach me at David Long, a top 10 manager for sure. By the way, if your listeners go to Amazon and buy the hardback copy of my book, Built to Lead by David Long, L-O-N-G, and they send me an email, once again, at David Long, a top 10 manager, I will send them the Kindle version and the workbook for free. And the Kindle version sells for $10, and the workbook sells for $8 on my book's website. So I'd be happy to do that because, first and foremost, I don't need the money. I wrote the book because I want to try to salvage the careers of the massive failure in managers. I mean, only 1 out of 100 ever gets promoted to the second level. Only 6 or 7 ever get promoted at all out of 100 employees.
Right.
So, I mean, let's amplify your success. And if you follow the principles of my book, I guarantee you will get massive return on it. There's also a thing in the back of the book where I have over $2,000 that I paid. I physically paid $2,000 for information I'm giving you on resources to help you in your management career.
Wow. That's awesome stuff. And I went to top10manager.com. Not only did I see that world-class poster, but I also love the fact that you have books on there. So, hey, David, this has been fabulous. Thanks so much for joining us today. I learned a lot. I know my audience got a lot from it, too. So you have an awesome day, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. I enjoyed it.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business Life Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.